listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show today, Your Ultimate Life. So I still have this dent in my forehead. Isn't that funny? There's a story about that. My refrigerator attacked me and I lost, of course. I was standing in the kitchen and shut the fridge door. You know, you push it shut and then it has those little lumps that it has to get over that keeps it open or makes it go shut or whatever. I didn't push it hard enough. I turned away, pushed it thinking it was closed and did something. And I turned back and it was still open and I whacked my head there. And at first it didn't look like anything. And then it started bleeding under the skin. So I got a bump here. The bump's gone, but the stuff under the skin isn't. So that's a dent in my forehead. What the heck? Today, I want to talk about building a life, because we're all building a life. We often live in an excuse, and the excuse says, oh, I had no choice. All this happened, that happened, and we blame others, and we blame circumstance. Right now, there's this a lot of political instability in the United States. You know, Joy and I live in Canada, but we're also U.S. citizens, so we pay attention to a lot of that. A lot of instability, a lot of noise, a lot of opinions on all sides of things, and there's wars going on in the world and all that stuff. And so some people, in fact, most, I won't even say some, most people say, and I've asked, you know, why are you happy or unhappy? Oh, how could I possibly be happy? And then they list a bunch of things that are going on about why they're not happy. The war or you know, the conflict in Ukraine, we were connected with some Ukrainian refugees. How could I possibly be happy? Well, that's an interesting question. Because if I can't be happy, I want you to hear this. I'm going to say it slow. And yeah, I'm going to get right in your face about this. If you say, or I say, I can't be happy unless or until the Federal Reserve raises interest rates or lowers interest rates or somebody else gets elected or this or that, the economy changes or the price of gas goes back down, or then you and I, we're never going to be happy, because it's never going to be true that everything that we think ought to happen is going to happen. Never going to happen. So then that leaves us with a little bit of a conundrum. That means I freaking can't ever be happy unless somehow I can order the world like I want. And we know, okay, I can't do that, but at least if most of them were okay, or half of them, or these three big ones, you're still outsourcing your happiness. Get over it. You can be happy today if you want to. You can be happy even though these 10 things are not like you want. The universe has been unfolding for 15 billion years without your help or mine, and it's going to continue to do that, ignoring what I want. And I can be happy about all of it. So let's just lay that as a framework, some groundwork, and you can be mad about it or disagree, but you can be happy right now if you decide to be, and you don't have to ignore things that are going on around you that you think suck. You don't have to ignore that. You can do what you can about it and still not allow it to make you miserable. Here's a real benefit to doing that. Some people say to me, well, if I do that, I'm ignoring all these terrible things that are going on in the world. And no, you're not. I'll give you an example. When the war in Ukraine started now 4 years ago, February last month in 4 years ago, that war started. Now, my wife is Ukrainian. Her dad was born in Odessa, and she's got family there still. And he was a refugee after World War II, and he came to Canada as a refugee after living in a refugee camp for 4 years, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, her side of the family knows something about these things going on. So when that war started, and the injustice and radical nonsense that's going on there started, no provocation, just we're going to have a war because we feel like it. There was sadness in our house. Joy was upset and worried and so forth. And so we talked about it. And here's what we decided, and I was too, because she's my angel and I love her and I care infinitely about how she feels and thinks. So we talked about it. And here's what we decided to do. Number one, we decided we were going to be happy anyway, happy in our relationship, happy with the world, happy with our business, happy with God, not busy blaming or being angry, even though, you know, okay, one side decided to start a war, but we chose on purpose to not allow that to affect our day-to-day lives. The second thing we chose is we ask a question, what can I do about it? Well, in our case, it turned out we could do a lot. So what we did, I'll tell you a couple of stories. Joy started ordering products from Ukrainian sellers on Etsy and other online platforms, digital products, not worrying about whether they were delivered or not, but she started doing it as a way to send money. Then she started booking Airbnb locations that we were going to stay, only knowing that we'd never go there and stay there because the country's at war. And she did that a lot. That's what she did. Something I did is I had a client who owed me a sizable chunk of money. And there was a frustration around paying it and so forth. And I didn't want to let them off the hook because they had made a commitment. But it was difficult for me to be insistent that they make that payment because then the feeling was, well, you just want my money. And the answer was, no, I don't want your money. I want you to tell the truth to yourself about filling the commitment. So what I did is Joy found an animal shelter in Ukraine that needed money. And so I had him send that last payment, not to me, but to that animal shelter in Ukraine. I think it was $1,700 or something. So I had him send it to that shelter so that both things could happen. One, I could do something about Ukraine. Two, I could eliminate the nonsense that it's about me. And three, so that that client could fill its commitment. The next thing we did is a few months in, by about starting February, so by April, Joy was busy in all the Facebook groups and everything. And then she came and said, why don't we take a refugee family? And we had room in our house, so we negotiated that. And over time, that happened. And in June of 22, they came and they lived with us for 3.5 years. Now they're out on their own in an apartment about 10 minutes away. But, and that isn't to say, yay, us, whatever. But that sad thing with people dying and how many thousands dying every month and insane numbers and madness and cruelty, we chose not to let that externality affect us emotionally, but to do what we could and then to live our lives. Now, the last piece I want to say is the additional benefit, or two more additional benefits. One, because we decided to live joyfully anyway while doing what we could, the little things that I mentioned that we could do, it made us able to love more, be more available for the folks we had coming and for others, and to be positive. So we added good to the world, even though those external things were going on. Now, I use me as an example because we did that, and we continued to do it. It was ongoing for 3.5 years. In fact, it was just last October, I think, that our family moved out. So, okay. So that's a perfect example. And you can then twist it and you can say, well, that didn't happen to you. You knew about it and it made you sad, but it didn't happen to you. Well, I can tell you more stories, but I don't want to fill up this episode with stories about me. We've had other things happen, personal health challenges that are severe. Of me, I'm pointing to me because they were mine. Same choice, and it did happen to me. We've had some financial attacks. Same thing happened to me. Us. Same choice. So what I wanted to talk about today is the serious side, the real hardcore serious side about building a life you love. Okay? We're not going to do fluffy, airy-fairy stuff today. A lot of people, when they, and I'm going to say one thing, if you want to get a hold of me to make a comment or to talk to me, or if you want to be on one of my shows, Or if you want to talk about writing your book or anything, here's the way to get a hold of Kellen. Go to this website, Your Ultimate Life Podcast. YourUltimateLifePodcast.com. There's a contact form. Get a hold of me. YourUltimateLifePodcast.com. Get a hold of me. I love talking to people and hearing what you're about and seeing what we can create together. All right. So I titled this Stop Building a Life That Owns You. Stop building a life that owns you. The first part that I just talked about is establishing a truth. You build your life. You don't control everything that happens, so quit thinking that. But you build your experience of life. Is it joyful? Does it suck? Are you bedraggled? Are you bogged down? Are you happy? Are you excited? Are you sad? You choose that no matter what's going on. Now, some people, in fact, I would say most, and I know that because I used to live there, I defined being happy as how much money I could have, how many promotions I could get. I worked for a long time in corporate, that kind of thing. So, you know, employee, senior employee, supervisor, manager, you know, director, executive, how far can I get up? How much money can I make? What do I need to do to get more, more, right? And I was successful at that. I got promotions, employee, supervisor, manager, director, executive, you know, those kinds of promotions came. You know what I discovered? I had the recognition and the cash that I thought I wanted. And what I noticed is that I had built a life that owned me. In order to sustain that, I had to be owned by the rules and expectations of that company, those companies and corporations. I needed to do that, or the stuff I had built would be gone. So I built a life that owned me. Now, 85% of people surveyed in many different surveys, between 80 and 90%, depends on where you, what survey you look at, don't really like their job, meaning they're not fulfilled, they don't feel like they're making a difference or a contribution, or they're being used effectively, or some version of that. So there's some dissatisfaction there. But they can't quit because why? Well, I got to have a job, so better this than nothing. And so we go through life, go through year after year, and then a decade, and then 2 decades, and sometimes a whole career, working for the weekend, and or working for vacation, and or working toward retirement. Then we'll be free to be happy. What a sucky deal. I got to work 5 days so I can have a weekend. I got to work 11 months so I can have a 3 or 4 weeks off in the summer or wherever, in the winter or whatever. It's always working for some future reward. What nonsense have we bought into that that's how we are structuring our life? I did. And 19 years ago, I quit doing that. I walked away from all of it and I said, wait a minute. I'm going to build a life that I own. I define the parameters. I define the boundaries. I define how much time it can claw out of my heart. I'm going to define all that. Some people call that building a lifestyle business, where you decide what kind of lifestyle you want. I want to take this many vacays. I want to go here. I want to do this, that. And there's a list of things. And so they design a business that will provide those things. That can work, but it's also building a job, even if you own the business that owns you. So let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Maybe you've spent years helping people create success, whether it's in a corporate situation where you worked for whoever has that. And in the process, you've created some income. Maybe you've created separate businesses. Maybe you're an entrepreneur or business owner where you've created your own business. And if you're like nearly everyone, you're noticing something disturbing. Most people are trapped inside of the life they built. You have high income, but you can't get away or your income stops. You don't have enough time. You're busy. The phrase, busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger. You know, there's a reason we have that. You have no freedom. You can't step away for a month or 6 months. I'll tell you, that was drawn starkly to our attention in 2018, not quite 10 years ago, when I got sick. Now, you guys know that if you've listened to many episodes, I died. I got like sick, right? ICU and flatlining and all that stuff. And I was basically out of commission for at least 3 months. So I stepped away, because I had to, for 3 months. And we had to scramble. We had to scramble. And mostly it was Joy scrambling, because I was pretty much incapacitated. I spent the first 17 days in a coma and the rest of that month in the hospital and then, you know, recovering at home. So I didn't own my life. My life owned me. And so we committed then to change it more. I want you to think about this. Do you own your success, or does your success own you? If that's you, we need to talk, because you don't need to live like that. You're way too smart. You're way too capable. You're way too brilliant and amazing to live a life that owns you. Okay? If you're not doing things you love every day. I was on a call the other day, where I was teaching a class in this group that I belong to. It's not my group, but I belong to it, and I was teaching a class. And I said that I live my life so that each day, literally like today, Tuesday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, happy St. Patrick's Day, if that matters to you. I live a life so that every single day I love it. I'm doing what I love. I love what I'm doing. I meet people that I love. I love serving. I love the books I write and the music I do and the clients I have. I just love them. I had a call with a client this morning who just lights me up every time I talk to him. And so I have built that life. And if you don't have that, then we need to talk, because I can show you not just how I did it, because so what? Your gifts and talents and skills are different than mine. You know what I'd love to show you? How you can create this, because you deserve it. A life you love, purpose, prosperity, and joy. And if you want to talk about that, Your Ultimate Life Podcast, one big long word, yourultimatelifepodcast.com. And there's a contact form there. Get a hold of me. Let's talk. Let me show you how to do it. How do you do it? Not what I did. Who cares? All right. So here is the real problem. We strive, we yearn for prosperity. And that word almost always means like cash, cash, cash. And oh, by the way, more cash and assets and bank accounts and more cars and houses and whatever. Prosperity, of course, means a lot of things. Prosperity of soul, prosperity of spirit, prosperity of relationships, prosperity and joy. Prosperity just means an abundance. But let's talk about money, since that's the thing that most people struggle with, or at least that they're willing to talk about. Truth. Most people study with what they believe about themselves, about their capability and about their possibility, about what they deserve to have or what they can create. That's where the big doubts come in. But most people don't want to talk about that because it's scary and it's harder to fix. Money's easy to fix. There's nothing to that. All right. So here's the thing. We create prosperity without sovereignty. Now, sovereign is a big word, and usually if you think about it, it means, you know, the king or queen of whatever fairy tale, you know, the king in Sleeping Beauty or Snow White or King Arthur, whatever. That's the sovereign, right? Person wears a crown. Well, let me tell you something. You are a sovereign. You're an emperor or an empress, a king or a queen. Your kingdom is your own life. Your experiences and what you have and are and how you feel. You are the absolute master of that. Now, most people don't know how to exercise their sovereignty, and they give it away. They give it away to external events. They give it away to stories. Think about that. People give their sovereignty away to stories. I'm not good enough. I can't make the money. Other people have all the breaks. I suck. I'll never do it. I'll be only happy when. That, you know what that is? That's handing over your sovereignty to something else that doesn't even care about you. Ugh, what a silly thing to do. Okay, so this is the centerpiece. You can have all the money you want and be miserable. I did that. That resonates with me because I did that. And those of you that know stories know what happened and all the things that happened. You can have clients, all the clients you want in your business, and still be owned instead of sovereignty. You can be visible, meaning have a high profile and still feel trapped. Now, if you think for a minute, you know right now, either someone directly, personally, or stories of people who have all that. We'll call them generically celebrities, but high profile people in any industry, sports figures, music figures, movie figures, political figures. They are high profile and they're drunk. They're in rehab. They wreck cars. They commit suicide. They trash relationships. And they have all the hallmark of somebody who's having a really suck life. They don't feel, I'm not saying all of them, but 99%. When you meet them and talk to them, believe me, I've talked to many in that category that have that kind of popularity, notoriety, money, and status. Talk to many. They do not feel happy. And in fact, it is so rare that when you meet one that does, it's a shock because they give off the air of happiness, contentment, peace. And they're few and far between. So if all of those things, having all those externalities, money and clients and stuff and profile, actually isn't sovereignty, what is it? Sovereignty is owning your ability to choose the life you want. If you think you're stuck and you, quote, have no choice, again, let's talk, because you have choice starting today. And that doesn't mean you have to starve. It doesn't mean you have to damage those you've committed to help or any of that stuff. All right, so let's move on. Here's some examples. Coaches, me, or other people that do kind of service industries, continually trading hours for dollars. Well, that means I got to keep giving up those hours or I won't have the dollars. I'm stuck. I'm trapped, okay? Entrepreneurs or business owners that are stuck in operations, you're an owner-operator. If you're a cog in the business, all you did is create a fancy job. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as a starting point, but if you don't have a clear strategy and are moving along the road to becoming an owner-investor, where I'm going to sneeze. Oh, excuse me. Usually they come in two, so hang tight. You really want to become an owner investor where you just own the business and you have someone that runs it. Then you have true freedom. But that's financial and time freedom. The freedom of your soul can be had even while you're the owner operator, even while you're working in a job, even while you're working in a job you don't like. Freedom of soul. I want you to think about, there's all kinds of illustrations in history, but Nelson Mandela popped to mind. I believe he spent 27 years in prison. And someone asked him, how did you stand it? And he said, I didn't endure it. I was preparing. So he chose a mindset and a belief and a set of behaviors and actions that made him value that time and treat it as preparation. What a cool thought. What a cool thing. That's not limited to figures like that. You and me, we have the ability to do that. And so here's the thing. If now we're talking business here for a minute. If your income depends on your constant presence, then you don't have a business. You just have a job with some decorations, better marketing. All right, so here is some depressing news before we get to the exciting stuff. All right, this is getting worse, not getting better. AI has come into the scene, that technology, wizardry, and advancement, and it's still getting worse. And you say, how the frick is that getting worse? AI is supposed to save us more time. Well, it is and does. What that does with people with the mentality of I got to have more is it allows you to scale. It allows you to do more and more, more clients, more money, and you still have the same feeling of being trapped. So AI is accelerating content and marketing and the whole flipping show. And it's also accelerating the noise. In the year that it's been in high consciousness, at least for me, I know it's existed for 3 or 4 years, but pretty small. And in the last year, it's really exploded, which caused me to write a book about coaching and the rise of AI, which I've told you about before, what it's doing to the coaching world. But in the last year, the AI, write your book, AI, write your course, AI, do this, that. So then as a business owner, you're thinking, AI, do your prospecting, AI, do your email scraping, AI, do your outreach. Let's say it's all successful. The goal there is to do what? More clients, more cash, more money, and you still have a job where you're stuck. So you have more competition because everybody's learning to use the tools. And in fact, now there's a boatload of people that are making a living telling people how to use the tools. As soon as there's a new tool online, there it is. I remember when Google first, Zoom was just barely fledgling, and Google created something called Hangouts. And then there were Skype meetings, right? And when Google Hangouts first came, Google stepped in, the 800-pound gorilla, and they were going to take over the world. Well, Hangouts had a lot of problems, and it was difficult. But my point is this. I personally know a marketer, very high profile, well into seven figures, maybe eight figures, making all kinds of money online. One of the things he created was a Google Hangouts course, and he enrolled 500 people in it. And he hired me and several other people to run the coaching that was part of that program. And so I saw people all scrambling, trying to learn this new tool. And eventually that tool failed, and now Google Meet's there, et cetera. That was just an example. Like AI, people are taking advantage of it. But all these people are building themselves jobs, and they're not exercising sovereignty. So let's talk about how to exercise sovereignty, how to create a life that you want. Because more effort, more hustle, more content, more isn't going to be what you need. It's not going to bring you happy. If you want to go do it so you can figure that out for yourself, go ahead. If you want to save some years, have time compression, then you can hear me because I did that and had to back out of it and recreate it all over again. So you're free to go do that. And I hope you don't. So here's the framework, okay? What if the goal isn't just success? What if that isn't it? What if the goal, let's use some different words, ownership, leverage, freedom, alignment, exponentiation, like, you know, going up an exponential curve. We've been trained to think that success is linear. Well, if I work this hard, I get 50,000. And if I work really hard, I can get 100, and maybe I can scale it up to 150 or 200K. And pretty quick, you know, you're at the limit. Well, that's the wrong place to go. Sovereignty, I wrote down a definition. Sovereignty means you design your life so that it pays you. What? Design a life so that it pays you financially, emotionally, and spiritually. And that might all sound impossible, but what if you could? What if you could? And I'd be glad to share what I've learned with you. I am right now, but in the 50 minutes of the show, I obviously cannot give you the details of all the things. So again, I'm inviting you to get a hold of me, Kellen Flukiger, YourUltimateLifePodcast.com, contact form. All right. A sovereign architect. I want you to write that word in your heart. How do I become a sovereign architect? So what is the word architect? An architect is a designer of a building. Now, you may know some famous architects. One that I'm familiar with, because my wife loves this guy, is Frank Lloyd Wright. He was a designer of a lot of mid-century, what's called mid-century modern, which is in the 50s and 60s of the last century. Lots of his iconic houses and structures still stand. There was a house in Phoenix. It's way up on the hills in this northeast Phoenix, where a meeting that I had with some networking group, I can't remember now what it is, was at this Frank Lloyd Wright house. And it was beautiful. It had overlooking all the valley and high enough on the hill. And it was a weird, iconic design, really nice, et cetera, really fantastic. So, but he architected that house. He didn't build it. He architected it and then sold people on the vision. His life was building vision. I want you to think about that. And then he sold people on that vision. So if I'm a coach, which I am, and I sell coaching services, then I get paid a certain amount. You know, counselors are $200 or $300 an hour, attorneys $500, whatever, $1,000 an hour, high-paid consultants. You know, I was in that world a while before my life changed. So you get paid a lot of money, but it's still per hour, and so that means you're automatically capped. On the other hand, if you or I can create a vision of a desired outcome and get people to support that vision, then your life can pay you. And that's what I do now, so that I can focus on empowering, creating people to build the vision that I see. Now, here's a vision that I have, okay? I'm building the Ultimate Life University as one vehicle to carry out my vision. Now, one of the measurements of my vision is if clients hire, not me, but if clients enroll in the programs I have, okay, because my vision is way too big for me to fulfill it all. So I have one architect, sovereign architect group, and the desire of that or the outcome of that group is for people who live or work in that group to take home $1 million a year. So they earn enough money, top line revenue, so that their net is $1 million a year. That's one of my programs. Another program I have, it's 10 times that big, a program to help people who enroll in it to take home $10 million a year. Now, the programs are different. They operate on the same principles, but the actions are different, obviously, because the results are 10 times as big. Now, I'm not talking about revenue. I'm not talking about vanity numbers, because we've all seen a lot of that, and it's all garbage. This isn't top line hype or anything else. Because here's the truth. If you're talking in the money part of prosperity, which is where people usually focus first, and if it doesn't hit your personal bank account, it doesn't count. My own commitment for the vision that I have is to create 3,000 millionaires in the next 5 years. 3,000 people who take home $1 million. Now, that's not difficult to do. Okay, if you've never thought in those kinds of terms before, you might hear that and say, that's freaking impossible. You're full of crap. Okay, you're free, absolutely free to think it, but there are people all over the place that are doing it. Someone observed here sometime in the last year, that this new technology, AI, is going to create more millionaires in 5 years than the introduction of the internet did in 20 years. Now, we all remember the dot-com boom and everybody in the world putting up websites and making money, et cetera. That was back around 98, 7, 98, 99, 2000. the dot-com boom, when the internet came online as a tool. And then when all of that played out and everybody had overplayed their hand, the dot-com bust, when it exploded. So we all remember that. But the point is, the tool, the internet, allowed people to do things in ways they hadn't ever done before. And many, many thousands, tens of thousands of people, maybe even millions, capitalized on it and created a lot of wealthy people. Cryptocurrency, the introduction of that particular technology has done the same thing. The introduction of AI right now is doing it again, and it's bigger than both of those put together times five. Way bigger, because it affects so many things, not just because I said so, and because it's growing. So in the next 5 years, I will create 3,000 millionaires and 300 decamillionaires, which is people that make 10 million. That's not a dream. That's a plan and a vision that I have, and I'm actively executing that. Now, I'm not saying any of that to say, hey, Kellen, who cares? Your plan is what's important, not mine. I'm only sharing that with you because I want you to get a sense of what's possible for you. I am no smarter than you. I am no more capable than you, and in fact, maybe far less so. But I know for sure I know how to do that. And that freedom and certainty is what creates sovereignty, rulership over your own life, your own heart, your own ability to love every single day. Now, let's talk about the no BS version of how that actually happens. Okay, because it's easy to sit here and say big things and big numbers. It is not some mindset game where you sit in a corner and meditate or stand on your head and chant weird things. It is not about manifestation where you draw vision boards and sit and, you know, beam some wants into the universe. It's none of that. And it's not about grinding harder. So those are the three things you hear a lot about. Take massive action, grind, grind, grind. I love Gary Vaynerchuk, and he is all about the grind. Grind, 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 grind. I love him. I actually know him. I introduced him at a conference where I was the MC and he was one of the keynote speakers. So I got to know him, and it was a funny conversation because I had a client some years ago who knew Gary V when he was a kid, before he even made all those wine videos in his basement when he was a teenager. And I told him when we were talking, I said, I know somebody who knew you when you were a kid. And he looked at me. He's a very personable guy and he's nice. He said, oh, no way. And so then I told him the name of the woman that knew him, and he smiled and brightened up and said, oh yeah, I know her. And so it was funny because that happened. So if it's not about grinding harder and it's not about waving your wand magic, what is it about? What is it really about? Well, what if you knew that you had, I will say magic just because that's a powerful word, or superpowers? What if you knew you had skills and gifts that you're not using? What if suddenly you came to realize that you have tools in your heart already that can create wealth, impact, and personal meaning? Because remember, the 80% of people that hate their jobs, we're not doing any of that. What if you knew, what if you just came to know that you had this inside of you, tools, skills, gifts that could exponentially grow your influence, your income, and your personal satisfaction? Today, you don't know that, because if you knew it, you'd already be using them. You'd already be doing what I'm talking about. So what if I could wave a wand, ding, tap you on the head, Cinderella, beep, and suddenly you knew, absolutely without question, bulletproof, that you had that ability? What would you do with it? Would you doubt it and say, probably won't work, probably can't do it, probably work for somebody else, not me, and pass up the opportunity? Or would you take advantage of it? If you look at growth, like in the Harry Potter world, we like that. It's fun because they wave a wand and they shoot a beam of you know, blue or white or green or whatever light, and something is there immediately. Well, there is magic in the world, but it doesn't work like that, right? It works like it works. And coming to understand how creation works and then working with those laws instead of demanding that they operate a different way is a path of wealth and freedom. Learning how to work with the power instead of being angry and demand that it work like a magic wand is the key to wealth and freedom. If I stay mad because I don't have a Harry Potter wand with a phoenix feather in it or a heart string or whatever, what's going to happen is I'm going to die frustrated and I won't create anything. I know that because you know many people that live in continual frustration. So the first thing that you need to do is identify and recognize your own voice. You know, that book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, some consider it the most effective or powerful or important business book ever written. I'm not arguing one way or another, but there was a book written later by, I think, one of the sons of Stephen Covey called The Eighth Habit. And it isn't a very big book. The Eighth Habit is finding your voice. The world today is full of Me Toos, of people that jump on the bandwagon and follow a trend just because. There are very, 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 that's three verys, very few who are willing to find their own voice and then be powerful in that expression. I'll give you an example, whether you like this or not. There's a rapper, and I'm not much of a rap fan. His name is Tom McDonald. And I think he's originally from Canada. And I had an interesting experience. He's got a girlfriend named Nova Rockefeller. They've been together many years. But I happened to meet the dad of Nova Rockefeller on a flight to Edmonton one day. He sat next to me and we got talking and talking about music and recording studio. And he talked about his daughter, Nova Rockefeller. And at that time, for a short period of time, she actually lived inside of West Edmonton Mall. He said she was a mall rat. And there were people, I guess, that lived. West Ed is so big that you can't even find all the corridors and people. But anyway, none of that matters. He introduced me, told me about her, and she was the videographer and the creative element behind the videos of Tom McDonald, who was her boyfriend. And I hadn't heard of him then, but I have gone and looked him up since. And he has topped the charts a lot of times, Billboard charts and everything, but he is completely independent. And whether you like him or not, or like his positions or something, I don't care. That isn't even the point. The point is using his own voice, his own stand, his own position, and creating authority from that, he has accomplished top shelf status, making millions of dollars and having a very, very powerful effect on some group of people. And so that's an example, completely outside the mainstream, not signed by any label, et cetera, et cetera. Look him up, Tom McDonald on YouTube. Whether you like it or not, the story about doing that underscores, and that's real time. It's like right now, still ongoing. So that's not 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it's now. So finding your voice. What do you actually stand for? Not what do you hate, not what are you against, not who do you want to diss. What do you stand for? That is your most powerful positioning. That is your most powerful voice. That is the thing where you can make the most money, the most impact, and have the most fun. All right, so that's easy to say and difficult to do, and it requires perseverance and a lot of other things. But that's the key, finding your voice. Now, your voice might be your IP, your intellectual property. Kellen, I take to writing books and music. So I have books and music that I write, songs that I sing, concerts that I give, speaking at an event tomorrow, and several more times at events this year. But that didn't happen by accident. It happened because I took a stand. I started writing about it, posting about it, and becoming the voice that I have. And it happens to be the voice of your ultimate life. That's what I stand for, that you and me, we each have the ability, if we want to use it, to create a life we love instead of settle for a life we don't. That's the key. You can create a life you love instead of settling for something you don't. It's not easy, and it doesn't come at the end of a Harry Potter wand or in an Amazon box, but you can have it, and nobody can keep you from that. Now, the only question is, how bad do you want it? So that's number one. What do you say that cuts through the noise? And people tell me all the time, I got nothing. It's just never true. That would be true zero times. So I can help you find your voice. I can help you learn how to speak it. But what do you use, me or not? The key is find a voice. Get a message that you are so passionate about, you bleed for it. And then go be that voice. Because you're then a product of one. You're a unicorn. You are separate than everyone else. You have a unique positioning, a unique message. And even if you have the same message, like I know I'm not the only person that talks about creating the life you want and build the life of your dreams and all the rest of that stuff. You've heard that a million times. But there's nobody on earth that has walked my road, that has been through my experience, and that has my voice, my power, and my commitment. None. Zero. I'm in a class of one. But that's so what? So are you. So are you. Now, my mission, I've said it before, is to help 300 million people understand that truth. The manifestation of that understanding is to create 3,000 millionaires and 300 decamillionaires. I'm going to do that. The question for you is two things. One, do you want to do something else? Fine. Are you committed? If you're interested in having my help and being in one of those kind of programs, you need to get a hold of me. I told you how earlier in the show. Okay? Because you can't do it by yourself. I haven't. No one that I know, not even Elon Musk, did it alone. You have to get the right help, the right support. But the cool thing is it's available. It's not reserved for a few. It's not reserved for the lucky or the strong. It's not reserved for that. You and me, regular people, have the opportunity to create any life you want. First, you're an architect. Then you're a builder. And then you're a messenger. Here's the truth. Most people won't do this. Most people are going to hear this and say, yeah, whatever, another bunch of crap. Instead, they want comfort. They want approval. They want it easy. Okay? And they keep arguing for their limitations. They call their limitations, well, I got to have balance in my life or alignment. You know what? You got to be wildly unreasonable about what you expect from life. I expect purpose, prosperity, and joy, and I settle for nothing less. And I'm not special. You can have that too, but not unless you're wildly unreasonable about what you accept. Because if you're willing to settle, then that's all you're going to get. If you're willing to say, that's all that there's available. People like me don't. Life will provide exactly what you ask and what you demand and what you refuse to settle for less than. Now, here's an invitation for you, because you don't need any more information. You need to decide who you are. And if you're ready to create purpose, prosperity, and joy at a level you have never imagined, then you got to make a commitment to yourself, to your heart, to your voice, to your message, and then get busy making that happen. I'm creating Ultimate Life University as a vehicle to help people do that. I use something called the Sovereign Architect Framework. I've written a book, and it'll be out in 2 or 3 months. It's written and finished. It's in the editing, or not the editing, publishing process right now. So if you're hearing this and something inside you says, damn it, I've waited long enough. I have denied myself my full opportunity long enough. Well, then let's talk. There are entry points, no matter where you are now. There are pathways. There is structure. There is support. And there are books I can help you write, systems I can help you build, building real income streams, not airy-fairy stuff. So here's the core question. Are you going to keep living a life that owns you, or are you going to become the sovereign architect of your life, building a life that pays you back? The decision is yours, and you already know which one feels good, which one draws you in. You already know the answer. I invite you, starting at this moment, to say yes to the yearnings, to say yes to the truth that you deserve and can create your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, sovereign ownership, so you no longer have a life that owns you. You have the opportunity right now, if you want to take it, to move forward and create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.